turn there, that's fine. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3 and chapter 3, I'll be starting at verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready at that time, when ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in that same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to pray, and we'll talk about trust, for he is able. Trust, for he is able. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, the truth is so powerful and so amazing, and your word is so profound. Lord, when somebody's learning something that'll make them a lot of money, they listen very carefully, yet your word's more valuable than 10,000, as your word says, and more valuable than gold and silver, and more valuable than our precious, than our needy substance of food, Father. I pray today that we would have ears to hear, and that you would speak to those ears that hear, Father, and we would be changed, drawn to you. If we don't know you as Savior, we'd be saved. If we're saved, we'd be drawn to trust you more. Please, Lord, we need your help, and I ask you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. In this story, there's three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not their real names. Those were names given to them by Nebuchadnezzar, pagan names, just like Daniel got a pagan name, a Belteshazzar. And these three men had their name changed to an evil name. And then Nebuchadnezzar was a king of all the world at the time. He ruled Babylon, but Babylon had conquered the world, and so these were Jews who were brought back from Israel to be slaves in Babylon, and they had to obey the king. And the king set up an image, a big statue about 90 feet tall, covered with gold. And in this statue, whenever the music sounded, everybody was supposed to bow down and worship the statue, which of course violates the first and second commandment, the Ten Commandments. And they said, we're not going to do that. And so he said, if you don't do it, what I do is I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. You're going to be burned. You will be burned alive. And so the music sounds, and knowing the end of this story, it sounds pretty easy. Because you know what happened, if you know what happened. But you know, in the middle of the story, can you imagine? Just imagine if in America, they said, all right, we got a statue here in Seattle, and if you don't bow down to it when the music plays, you're going to be thrown alive into a fiery furnace. And we would realize it costs something. I was talking to someone who had a mission trip to India, and India is having a lot of people saved and a lot of persecution right now at the same time. And as they are baptizing their converts, they were asking them, you understand that if you get baptized, you very may well be killed when they hear about you getting baptized. So are you willing not to live for Jesus, but are you willing to die for Jesus? And they just kept baptizing converts, and they kept on saying, I'm willing. And these three were willing to do that. So everyone bowed down. The music comes on. Everybody bows down except for three people sticking up. People have asked, where was Daniel during this? I think Daniel, he was a number two person in the kingdom. He was probably doing the smart thing. He was able to hide. He was in the palace in his own room probably saying, I'm not going to bow down, but I'm not going to get burnt. God's got a plan for me still. He probably just avoided the thing because he was royalty. He wasn't around among the crowds and the multitudes. Because he was in the palace. However, these three weren't, and they stood there. And people probably said, hey, the music's playing. And they said, we know the music's playing, but we're not going to bow down. Guards come and grab them, drag them off, and they couldn't believe it. Three people who didn't bow down, and they take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before the king, fiery furnaces over here on the other side of the room, and they say, I heard you didn't bow down, and they play the music. And you're going to bow down to my God, and you're going to bow down to me, and or you're going to be cast in the fiery furnace. And do you understand that? I'm giving you a second chance. And there's nobody who can stop you. My guys are right here. The fiery furnace is right there. You're going to die if you don't do it. And we're going to burn you. And they said, we're not careful. We're not afraid to answer you, king. We're not going to go bow down to your idol. And our God is able to deliver us. And if not, we still won't bow down to the idol. Nebuchadnezzar gets very furious. And he says, heat the furnace up hotter, which is kind of dumb because if you're going to throw me in a furnace, I want it as hot as you can get it. Burn me up faster. But just because he's, I don't want the 150-degree furnace, he goes and he heats it up seven times hotter than it's supposed to be heated up. It's so hot that when the guards throw them in, it kills the guards. They tie them hand and foot, tie them up, bound them up there, grab them and do the old 1, 2, 3, but on the 1, 2, 3, they die. And Nebuchadnezzar's happy, and he's excited, and somehow there's a window into the fiery furnace, and he looks down in there after a while, and he looks down in there, and he says, didn't we throw three guys in? And they said, yes, king, we threw three guys in. He says, there's not three guys in, there's four. And he says, they're walking around loose in the middle of the fire. And of all the crazy things he says, this is Old Testament, this is 600 years before Christ, more than that. He says, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. And he says, what in the world's going on here? Open up the furnace. They open up the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out. The fourth one doesn't come out. He was with them in the fiery furnace. By the way, find the description of Jesus in Revelation 1. You'll find his feet are like brass as if they'd been burned in the furnace. The whole bunch of things about Jesus, when they saw him in John, remind us of him. It's interesting, he still has his scars. He still looks like a lamb because he never wants to forget, I'm the Lamb of God. And also, I'm with you through trial and trouble. In other words, everything he looks like is a symbol of who he is to us. In all the every area of our life, he meets our needs. He is the I Am. Whatever you need, whether it's a fiery furnace or a sacrifice for your sins, he is it. And he's in there with them in the fiery furnace. And they come out. Verse 25, it says in Daniel 3, in verse 25, it says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Notice they're walking. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Notice the end of verse 24, it says, did not we cast three men bound? And in the midst of fire, they were bound. They bound them, and it says in verse 22 and such. They're in the middle of the fiery furnace, they're walking around. And I want to say this, when you stand for Jesus and you go through persecution, you don't get burnt. The only thing that happens is that which binds you gets burnt off. And when you serve Jesus Christ, I want to say this, and you take a stand for God and you suffer persecution, or you go through trials in the servant of God, you don't get destroyed and you don't get burnt, but what's binding you in your life, your sin, is going to get burnt off. And you're set free. Many people say, I want to serve God, I want victory now, Pastor. And we say, okay, God, give them victory. And then comes trials. Same thing happened to me. I got saved. I wanted to serve God. I said, God, I am not strong enough to do this, Lord. But I want to be a good Christian. And you said, if I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I'll be filled. And God said, all right, I'll make you a good Christian. All of a sudden, all the suffering in the world started coming on me. And I started suffering like I'd never suffered. And I got cleaned up pretty quick. That which bound them got burnt off in the fire. Do not be afraid of the fire. Everybody's afraid of the fire. The fire refines you. And Job said, when I am tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. He says, I'm going to go through the heat, but I'll come forth purified. And they came out of that fiery furnace, no longer bound. They were walking. They were set free, walking around in the midst. Wouldn't that have been cool? You get thrown in. Oh, my soul, here we go. And you land in the middle of coals, in the middle of flames, and look and say, this is weird. Flames are all around you, and hey, who's that? And you go for a walk. Da, 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 da. Walking around the fire, walking around the flames. This is awesome, man. Hey, Neb, how you doing, buddy? And you're set free. I mean, that would be awesome. And you're walking with the Son of God. And they come out of the furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar says, what happened? Obviously, this gave God glory. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be God of Shadrach, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, the trusted in him, and have not changed a king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, tongue, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And God gets glory. And Nebuchadnezzar says, that's the true God. Wow, you have some true God. There wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. They were totally set free. Interesting, just a couple things that are interesting. If you look back in verse 17, if so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. He is able to deliver us. But if you noticed, there is a little bit of question there. Just a little bit. They didn't say, God is going to deliver us. They did not know God was going to deliver them, but they said, we're not going to bow down even if he doesn't deliver us. But God is able, and if so be that God is able to deliver us, then we won't have to worry about your fiery furnace, and if he doesn't deliver us, we still won't bow down. First of all, they brought out God's ability. The question was answered about trusting in him and his ability when Nebuchadnezzar said it. Verse 29, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And notice he says, they trusted in him. In the middle of verse 28, he sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him. They trusted in him because they believed that he was able. And they trusted him because they're going to serve God no matter the price. God sometimes will answer your prayers and do the miraculous, and sometimes God won't do the miraculous. In either case, you're going to serve him no matter what. He said, if God delivers us, fine. But if not, we're still not going to bow down to your image. And they said, we believe God is able. And we're going to trust in him. But there's always faith involved. See, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, I know God's going to do this. Then it's nothing to do with faith then. Because faith is what's not seen. I absolutely positively know God. And that's great. So God has told me things he's going to do. And I know he's going to do them. And that takes much less faith when I don't know if God's going to do something. However, it takes even faith when you know God's going to do something because you're still believing in a God you cannot see. But they said, our God is able, and we're trusting in him. And you know what? Even if we die, then we go to heaven, and he's going to say, good job, you stood for me. And now you're okay in either case. And they decided to trust in him. When you decide to trust in God, it is dependent on whether he is able. And I want you to understand that because it's not usually framed in that way. Because the devil never says, is God able to do this? But whether you trust God is dependent on whether he is able. Is God able to deliver us, or can God take us to heaven if we die? I trust him enough to obey. That's why James always says, faith without works is dead. If you believe, then you will take action. It'll back up what you say you believe, because that's faith. Faith believes enough to take an action. And so they trusted in God because they believe that he is able, and God is able, and that's why you should trust him. You are going to, with your life, decide to serve God or not serve God, depending on whether you think he is able to reward you accordingly and whether he's worthy of you serving him. And that's all a matter of faith. When you serve God and trust him, and that's the key word is trust, because people will say, I trust God, I just can't take that step. No, you don't trust God. My kids say the same thing. I remember one of my kids was hanging in a tree one time, and they were stuck. And I went beneath the tree, and I could just barely grab their legs. And I said, let go. And they said, I can't. I said, trust Daddy. I do, but I can't let go. I said, let go, or I'll pull you down. And with the tree branch. But you know what? If they trust me, they could let go. And if you trust God, then you can, if you believe he's able, then you can trust God. God blesses those who trust him. I'm going to read you just a slew of verses out of Psalms. Just talk about how God blesses those who trust him. Because there's many things you can trust in. First of all, there are many things that you can put your trust in. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord, our God. Some people trust in things that are prepared. It says, yes, prepare your horse for battle. Yes, prepare the chariot for battle. That's wise. That's good. That's good. Put in your seatbelt. But you know what? You're not going to get there because you have a seatbelt on. I just think that you're doing all you can do. But you know what? There's accidents where the seatbelt isn't going to help you. And you need to trust God. And you know what? It says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in God. Yes, we're going to battle. And yes, we're going to wear armor. And yes, we're going to prepare our horses and our chariots for the war. But that's all just doing our part. But ultimately, it's up to God whether we get safe there safely. Hey, tragically, this week there were 30 Navy SEALs with the best training in the world, with the best armament in the world, in a great helicopter with, I'm sure, one of the best pilots in the world, and some lucky nut shot him with a very unsophisticated weapon and killed them all. And they were well prepared, and the mission was well thought out, but you know what? You can't trust your equipment and your training, even if you're a Navy SEAL. Somebody can get lucky. The helicopter can malfunction. And you can trust in a lot of things. You can trust your airbags, and you can trust your seat belt. By the way, read the airbag warning sometime. It's pretty funny. And you can read all these things, and you can trust in all those things. And I think you should buckle your seat belt and everything else. But you know what? Safety is of God. Don't trust in methods, and don't trust in our equipment, and don't trust in all the different things of the world. Ultimately, you do your best, but God, you have to trust him. You can trust in horses and chariots. You can trust in being prepared, and you can trust in all those things. But you know what? Hey, you can have your whole garage full of all the food in the world, and if you're trusting your food to keep you fed, I think you ought to have food stored away, and I have food stored away, and we're prepared for if the government has major problems or there's a famine or whatever, we're prepared for it. But I'm not trusting that food. My garage can burn down, and all kinds of bad things can happen. And we won't have food. I'm not trusting in the government. I'm not trusting in anything. I'm trusting in God. You can trust in horses and chariots. Mark 10:24, Jesus said, some people trust in their riches. I got a lot of money in the bank, so I'm going to be fine. Did you know you should not have any more confidence whether you have $1 million in the bank or $5 in the bank if you're trusting God? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. According to his riches and glory, not according to how much you have in the bank. Hey, a whole bunch of people have had a whole bunch of money in the bank, and the bank collapsed. Or that person died. Or something bad happened. Hey, listen, don't trust in your money. Money brings people so much security for a little while. But there were some very rich people on top of the World Trade Center on 9/11. And their money didn't do them any good. Don't trust your money. Money is a piece of paper with some ink on it. And by the way, that money can be very quickly devalued, and we are right on the brink of that. And you got to understand that. You got to be very careful with that. Don't trust your money. Some people trust themselves. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, he said, we would not trust in ourselves. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, he said, if some have reason to trust in themselves, I the more, but I have no confidence in the flesh. Well, I just trust myself. I think I'm smart enough. Girls, look up here. I think I'm smart enough. I think I'm intelligent enough. I think I have enough ideas. I think I'm brilliant enough. I think I got it all under control. Hey, there's a lot of us who've had it all under control. And then we found out that we didn't have it all under control. Can I tell you, don't trust yourself too much. One riptide, your brain's not working anymore. One drunk driver swerving into your lane. And by the way, how many times you thought you knew what to do and you did the wrong thing? Don't trust yourself. You can make bad decisions. Your heart can be taken astray. And you know what? Hey, can I tell you this? I can be backslidden next week and not preaching here Sunday. I can go away from God because I'm flesh. And I could go away from God. I don't trust myself. I'm very careful with myself. I don't trust the flesh. You shouldn't trust yourself. You should know you're weak. You're a fallen creature. You should, any man thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Don't trust yourself too much. Listen, be very careful about what you trust in. God blesses those who don't trust in him. In Isaiah, a great part of the book of Isaiah, especially chapter 29 and 30, were written to tell them, you're trusting your alliance with Egypt that you're not going to be taken to Babylon. You're getting taken to Babylon. Quit trusting your alliance. Trust God. They're trusting their alliance. They're trusting this thing. Some people trust the government. Well, we're going to be okay. The government's got it under control. You don't watch the news. You think the government's got it under control? Well, they got the debt ceiling raised. Okay, think about that for a sec. They got the debt ceiling raised. Do you think that was a great accomplishment? So now they got a bigger credit card that they still can't pay for. But people say, well, you know what? I always got the government. They can always take care of us. Yeah, we saw that in Katrina. Listen to me. You're trusting anything in this world. You got faith in a very unstable thing. Praise God for government. Praise God for money in the bank. Praise God for food in storage. Praise God for seatbelts and airbags. God can use all those things, but that's not what's going to keep you safe and alive and prepared and taken care of. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't looking for their asbestos suits. They just had God. And sometimes God puts you where you only have Him. When you trust in the Lord, you're very blessed. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Watch how God blesses those who trust in Him. And just a few verses. This is Psalms 2:12. Kiss a son, lest he be angry with thee, and he perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Psalms 34 talks about how blessed you are when you put your trust in God. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Psalms 62 and verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Psalms 125. Psalms 125. God says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forevermore. You're like a mountain that'll never be moved. If you're trusting in God, why do you trust God? Why can you put your faith in God? Why can you rest today and quit worrying about everything if you're serving God? And by the way, if you're not serving God, none of this applies to you. You're going to have to figure out your own thing to trust in. Trust the government, trust the economy, trust the president, trust your car, trust your whatever, trust your bank. But this is for those who are trusting God and saying, Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to put You first. I'm not going to worry. Those that trust in God get all these blessings. Why? Why do I trust God? Because He's able. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He's able, first of all, to protect you. I love in Psalms 91, it says, 10,000 shall fall my right hand, but it shall not come near unto me. Listen, the entire United States military can come against me today. And if God wants to protect me, they aren't killing me. Amen goes there. You don't believe that, do you? Look at me. Come on. And can you understand that? Well, come on, Pastor, don't be ridiculous. No, you're being ridiculous. You think the United States military stands a chance against God? Read Armageddon. All the armies of the world are sitting there waiting to fight God, and God goes, opens His mouth, and a sword comes out, and they all die. That's what happens. Their eyes melt out of their sockets, and their flesh melts off their body, and they all die. Millions of military waiting to fight God. Listen, you say, oh, I got to do this. And I mean, people are so scared nowadays. You know how scared they are? You ever see how many locks some people have on the door? You knock on the door. Click, 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 ching, 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 click, 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 click. And, the criminals come through the back door. But they go through all that, and they're so worried about everything. I mean, they watch the news 24 hours a day. What happened with the stock market today? It went up and down all over the place. I'm so worried about this. What are we going to do? Who's going to become president? Have you figured out the president doesn't fix everything yet? You're saying President Obama can't fix anything? Neither did President Bush. Neither President Clinton. Neither did President Bush again. Neither President Reagan. Neither did, I don't want to go any farther because I'll forget who's president. Leave me alone. And all those presidents. I could go back to the 50s, the presidents. Leave me alone. I don't trust my memory, though. Listen, your help is hopefully not from Washington, D.C., or from Olympia. Your hope, helpfully, isn't because you have a rich relative somewhere. You know, people who, I'm suing somebody and the money's coming. Sure it is. I'm scratching lottery tickets. I'm going to be fine. Okay. What are you trusting in? Why are you going to be okay? You know, safety is of the Lord. If God wants you to die today, it don't matter what route you take and what kind of car you drive. Doesn't matter. Now, I'd rather drive a big car. I'd rather be in safety. Praise the Lord. I like that. And I buckle my seatbelt. And you shouldn't be foolish. And you should do all your part. Otherwise, you're tempting God. If you don't look both ways before you cross the street and say, God, protect me, God says you're tempting Him, just like Jesus jumping off the temple. However, once you do your part, you say, God, but if you want me to get there, it's up to you. And you got to realize, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are protected by God. He is able, first of all, to protect. Secondly, to provide. I love a verse. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. and verse 9. It's a man of Amaziah who's king, and he made an alliance with Israel that he wasn't supposed to make, and he was with Judah. And God said, don't make an alliance with them because God is not with them. And the man of God came to Amaziah and said, do not take Israel with you because I'm not with them. And Amaziah said, what am I supposed to do with all the money I gave to them as I hired them? He paid them over $40 million to help him fight. And he says, what am I supposed to do with all that money? About all that money I already gave them to them. And I love the verse. This is 2 Chronicles 25, verse 9. It says, and Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have already given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And it's so funny. Somebody says, I can't tithe. I can't afford it. God will bless you. No, you don't understand. I got to pay my bill. He's able. You know, he's able to give you much more than the 10%. He's able to provide for you. He's able to provide for you. God can take care of you. The Lord is always able to provide for his people. The Lord is able, again, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. We said he's able to provide for you. He's able to protect you. And last thing I want to say, he's able to purify you. He's able to purify you. But by purify, I mean to forgive your sin and save your soul. There's a beautiful verse. It's John chapter 6, verse 37. And listen to this verse. It's very beautiful. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're a seeking sinner, come unto the Savior, God can purify you. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've been. Doesn't matter. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But I don't deserve to be forgiven. None of us do. That's why Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, the Apostle Paul said. Hey, he says, I can purify you. And many people who aren't saved don't believe they can ever be saved because they've done so many bad things. But God is able to purify you. God is able to forgive you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. No matter what you did, no matter how gross your sin was, no matter how blatant it was, he is able to save you. He says in John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Already has it, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Anybody who hears my word and believes, anybody who believes that they're a sinner and they don't deserve heaven, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and that they believe that Jesus can save them, he says, I will pass them from death unto life. They will be forgiven. But I'm not good enough. No, you're not. That's why you need a Savior who's able to save you. That's why you need a Savior who's able to save you. I'm not good enough either. But I came to God and said, Lord, I am a sinner and I'm not going to go to heaven because of my sin. I need Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. I trust only in you. And I believe he is able to forgive me. And I am 100% sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Not because I'm so good, because I'm not. Because I believe he is able to keep his word and save me. Him dying on the cross, he said, it is finished, and he did enough to finish my salvation. Oh, you can worry and say, what if I mess up? What if I'm not good enough? What if I don't think it? He says, you're passed from death unto life. It's not up to your ability to be good anymore. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. It's up to God's ability to save, not your ability to be good. And when he died on the cross, he died for it all. And anybody who wants can come to Jesus and he will never cast you out. He's able to purify you where you can be totally sinless and totally forgiven. Hey, he took women caught in adultery and forgave them. He took women who had six different men, five different husbands, and forgave them. He took the sinful woman and forgave her who was a prostitute. He took men who were tax collectors and evil men in the government and evil men who did all kinds of terrible things and said, I forgive them. He took an adulterer and a murderer in David, and he took a Christian killer in the Apostle Paul and said, I'm able to purify them. To you, it seems impossible. To God, he says, my son's blood is so much more powerful than that sin. It's washed away as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. And the Lord says, I am able to protect you. I am able to purify you. I am able to provide for you. So that all brings up the question, are you going to trust him? Ask you today, are you going to trust him to be your Savior if you're not saved today? You say, I'm a good enough person to get to heaven, then you're trusting the wrong person. That's you. That means you're the Savior. And can I tell you, if you ever sin one time, you're not a very good Savior. Because the Bible says the wage of sin is death. Not sins. Sin, singular. Adam and Eve sinned one time in the garden, and God said, you can't be with me anymore. But when you die, if you have one sin in your record, you are lost, and you will not go to heaven. So if you think you can be that Savior and never sin your entire life one time, have at it. But not me. I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ that takes away the sins of the world. First of all, will you trust him as Savior? Secondly, as a Christian, do you believe he is able enough to quit worrying? You know, worrying is a sin. Be careful for nothing. Bible says, Philippians 4:7. Why take ye thought for the morrow? Don't worry, little flock. I'll take care of you, Jesus says. Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving that your requests be made known unto God. But what are we going to do about the economy? We're going to have enough food and raiment every day if you're serving God. What about this? What about that? What about the... Listen, most of these things are just to get you to watch the news anyway. Remember avian flu? Remember H1N1? Remember the swine flu? Oh, everybody's so scared. Everybody's gonna die. A lot of that stuff should get you scared. But you know what? Legitimately, our country is in serious economic danger. It's legitimate. But you know what? My God promises me he will supply food and clothing for me. And I got a lot more people to feed than you. I got a family of, it's going to be a family of seven around Thanksgiving. A family of nine, seven kids around Thanksgiving. But you know what? No worries. Government collapses? Dollar collapses? I don't got any of them anyway. You know what? I'm going to be just fine. God's going to provide my needs. Is the government going to? Am I such a good worker? No, God will provide my needs. Don't worry. Well, what if I serve God? I'm going to lose my friends. God will give you better ones. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just say, God, you know what? You are able to take care of me, and I trust in you. I'm not going to worry anymore. Second, let me say last of all, as a Christian, you who are saved, do you trust him enough to obey him? Because a whole bunch of things in the Christian life in obedience depend on, they got to catch the bus. Don't worry about it. It's not cuter than I am. And keep looking at me. When you say it must be an ugly bus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obeyed God because they believed him. Whether you obey God or not depends on whether you believe there's a heaven. Whether you believe is a rewarder. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whether you believe that God can take care of you if you serve him. Whether you believe that God will give you the ability to give up your sin and still have a good life. Because a lot of people are clinging to their addiction or their bad relationship or whatever as their security blanket. What am I going to do if he leaves? I know I shouldn't be with him, but if he leaves, how am I going to eat? Obey God. I'm sick and tired of people being in bad relationships because it's financially advantageous. You got a big God if you'll obey him. And you have no blessing from God if you're going to keep living in fornication. I mean, it's laid out for you. You got a big God who can take care of you if you'll trust him. And if you'll step out in faith and say, I'm going to go witnessing. Well, I'm afraid to talk to people. What am I going to do? You got a big God who's able to take. But you will obey or not obey the command to witness whether you believe God can give you the ability and the Holy Spirit to take care of you and help you. See, everything depends on whether you believe God enough. And the phrase that kept coming up as I was studying this week is, he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed to him. He is able to deliver us. He is able to give thee much more than this. Is God able? Is God able to help you not to worry, to save your soul? Is he able to provide for you? Is he able to take care of you if you do obey him? Is he able to bless you above what you'll sacrifice for him? Is God able? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, this message is pretty simple. Trust, for you are able. And Lord, this is, comes down to salvation. Some people say they can't be forgiven and they don't trust you enough. They don't believe in your ability to save them. And that Jesus' death on the cross is enough. Others don't obey you because we don't believe that you're going to take care of us if we step out in faith. Others worry because they don't believe you're able to provide for us. Others might not obey because they don't believe that what they lose is going to be given back to them in a better way. As you said, 100-fold in this life and life to come, everlasting life. Lord, I pray today that we'd be some people who believe and trust because you're able. Please, Lord, your word says this everywhere. And you said we're blessed if we trust in you. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to just ask a couple questions to you and we'll be done. Just a couple questions. First of all, if you're 100% sure you died today, you know for sure you're forgiven, you know for sure heaven's your home, you're 100% sure if you died today, you go to heaven. You say, Pastor, I know that for sure. I know that heaven's my home. I'm saved today. Would you slip your hand right now and say, I know that for sure, Pastor. I know heaven's my home. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, and I thank you for your honesty. I'll talk to you if you didn't raise your hand in just a moment here. But if you just raise your hand, Pastor, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. But you know what? The devil and whatever, myself, my flesh gives me doubt, and I'm not obeying God like I should. Because I have not realized it's a matter of whether I think he is able. Maybe it's suffering the loss of things. Maybe it's obeying him. Maybe it's worry. But you know what? You'd say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. I know I'm saved today, but you know what? I'm not trusting, for he is able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showed us that. We're not going to bow down. We're just trusting God. And even Nebuchadnezzar said, your God delivered you because you trusted in him. Pastor, I'm worrying. I'm not trusting. I'm not obeying because I'm not trusting. God is probably insulted because I have not said with my action that he is able. But today, God spoke to my heart, and I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to believe God. I've not been trusting him because he is able. Will you pray for me? Will you slip your hand up right now? Pray for me, Pastor. Many hands. I've not been trusting God. Maybe in worry. Maybe in disobedience. Whatever it is, pray for me. Many hands are raised. Pray for me, Pastor. Many hands are raised. Maybe you said, I'm not trusting God that he is able. I've not been doing what I should. God bless you. Many hands. You can put your hands down. Maybe you should have raised your hand. Maybe you've been worrying. Maybe you've not been witnessing because you're worried about you wouldn't be able to do it. He is able. Maybe you didn't tithe because you thought you couldn't pay your bills. He is able. Maybe you didn't go out and give up that thing in your life that you hold to as a security blanket. And you say, if I lost that, what would I do? And sometimes it's smoking, and sometimes it's bad relationships, and sometimes it's whatever. But I need that, and I'm not been letting go of that because I got to have it. No, he is able. I will not be brought in the power of any. Pastor, I should have raised my hand, but will you pray for me also? Will you slip your hand up right now? I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. Will you pray for me also? Will you slip your hand up right now? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? I should have raised my hand, but I didn't. God bless you. God bless you. And lastly, let me say this. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you don't know heaven's your home. Can I say wonderful news? God is able to save you. You can't save yourself. This church can't save you. I can't save you. But Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that's the only way to heaven. And he is able to save you. I want to give you a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. It's not complicated. All you need to do is know you're a sinner. Jesus is a Savior. You can't save yourself, and you ask him to save you. It's that simple, and he will come into your life. If you believe that he died for your sins and rose again, he'll save you when you ask him. And in a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and Christians will come forward and talk to God, and people will be coming forward. But you, whether anybody comes forward or not, if you didn't raise your hand that you're going to heaven, I want you to come forward because I care about you and because Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you right now. And you just come up and tell me, Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven. Just come up and tell me, and we'll have someone show you out of the Bible without embarrassing you how you can be saved today. Let's stand together. Everyone's standing, our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to sing a song, Just As I Am, without one plea. Christian, if you raise your hand, you need to do business with God, trust him today. Come today and talk to God about it when we sing. And you can come right now. Others are already coming. You who aren't saved, I want you to come down. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and tell me, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I want to know that today. As we sing right now, you come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want you to know I do not twist arms. Christians who are praying, and you keep praying if you're praying, but I want you to know it's between you and God. I want you today, if you've not been trusting his ability, to go to him today and have it forgiven. Confess it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I haven't trusted you, and he's going to bless you. If you don't know who heaven's your home today, I want you to receive Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We're going to show you out of the Bible how to be saved. And we won't embarrass you. We won't take you in front of everybody. We'll take you aside with the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Brian Davis, can you come on forward? Brian's going to be standing on the side here. And if you come and you don't know you're saved, he'll take you right outside there and he'll show you out of the Bible how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. You don't know when death is coming. If you don't know that, if you don't know you're going to heaven right now, go tell Brian, I don't know that. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You don't know you're saved today. Come on down. We'll show you out of the Bible. Anybody else? I don't know I'm going to heaven. God bless you. Christians, do you need to come down still? Do you need to talk to God about it? Do you need to do business with God? Christian, right now is the time to come. Keep praying. Keep talking to God about it. Just as I am, one more time. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. You can look up here. Dave, can you open that back door? We're going to sweat out of here in 10 seconds here if we don't get that back door open. When I was a young Christian, I've always been known to be a very reckless person. I've always been, when my friends would hang out together and we weren't saved, I would jump off the highest thing. And I've always been reckless and kind of crazy. And when I started serving God, I said, that'd be awesome. Let's try it. I didn't think it through too much. God called me to ministry, and I said, okay. I just, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I started realizing the implications. This is my whole life. But you know what? As I did that, and God gave me the grace to say yes to him and serve him with my whole life, can I tell you 25 years later, man, it's been awesome. Everything I needed, God provided. Everything that I would have wanted out of life, God's given me. He is able. I'm not serving a small God. I'm not serving a God who's old and tired and can't still come through for me. He is able. And you have the same God, the God of the Bible right there. He can work in your life. You'll never give anything to God and sacrifice for God, for God isn't going to take care of you. He's going to bless you. Blessed are those who trust in him. You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. Just a reminder of two things. One, 6 p.m. tonight. I hope you're here. Thank you, everybody who came today, all the visitors. This is Shannon's last week and her family. They're moving. And so make sure you say goodbye to them. They'll be here tonight if you want to come back. But I just want to make sure you know that. So we're going to miss them as they are moving away. They were saved and baptized at our church just 3 months ago. And faithful, serving God. So we got to find them a church there where they're moving quickly because they're new Christians. But they're serving the Lord and faithful and come morning and night. We're proud of them and we're going to miss them. We're going to pray they come back. And I want you guys to say goodbye. Make sure you say goodbye if you're not going to see her tonight. So we praise God for saving them and working in their lives, and praise God for that. All right, we're going to pray and be dismissed. Thank you for coming today. We'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget the Suffer Camp, and we'll see you tonight at 6 p.m., and let's pray. Father, thank you for being such a good God who is able. We pray we'd have a great week this week. I pray, Lord, that you would show yourself able all day today, this afternoon, and bring us back tonight. Give us a great week. Thank you for, Lord, every precious soul, these good teenagers we have, the adults, Lord, the elderly, Lord, the newly saved, and the people who have been saved a long time. You've been so good to bring us together as a family and teach us your word. I pray we'd love you and serve you and praise you for all you do, Lord. Thank you for your word that we can learn from today. Help us to have a safe afternoon and a great night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.